Talking Music presents The Dark Story of Eminem by Nick Hasted, read by Nick Landrum. Introduction. Fever. February 8, 2001. The storm clouds of anger and outrage have been building for weeks, from politicians and students, gay rights campaigners and women's groups, reporters for homophobic tabloids and liberal broadsheets. As Eminem sleeps in the private jet ferrying him from Paris to the opening Manchester engagement of his UK tour, the British are reviling, dissecting, and supporting him with an intensity reserved only for the most terrible folk devils and startling pop stars. He is being pursued from America by accusations of real violence and hurt. His own mother, Debbie Mathers Briggs, wants $10 million for the distress he has caused her. His wife, Kim, is considering divorce and has recently slashed her wrists over his rap's insensitive insults. They say he pistol-whipped a man for kissing her and waved a gun at another, all in one night. But it's the raps on his last record, the Marshall Mathers LP, the thoughts in his mind that disturb and distress Britain most. He claims to have slaughtered O.J. Simpson's wife, to have armed the Columbine killers. He taunts women and homosexuals. He wants to kill his father and his mother and his wife. That's why 100 gay rights protesters gather outside the Manchester Evening News Arena in the hours before he takes the stage. Why his hockey-masked, chainsaw-wielding image is on the cover of every newspaper the next morning. Why the police will barge into his dressing room after the show, only to find him vanished, slipped away in the night. It's hysteria, whipped to a frenzy rarely seen since the Sex Pistols, sucking in commentators and members of the public with no normal interest in pop, and, like a fever, with those people it passes quickly. But as I take the train to attend that Manchester show, I know Eminem has provoked deeper discussion. The Marshall Mathers LP, and in particular its recent number one single, Stan, the schizoid, self-reflective story of an Eminem fan's mad love for his idol, has stopped all my friends cold. One female friend semi-seriously offers sex for any spare ticket I might find. Another friend, who only likes classical music, plays Stan over and over at a party, fascinated. And whenever Eminem's name is mentioned, it's impossible to talk about him for less than an hour. And then someone new will start the conversation again. Is it all right to laugh at him? Is it okay to adore him? He is simply too arresting, too ambiguously, coherently furious to ignore. On the Marshall Mathers LP, he has danced with glee on every embarrassing social fault line in America, embraced every disgraceful and awkwardly hateful side of his country, from bullying misogynist machismo to homophobia. And his excuse, advanced during this tour? Pardon the cliche, but I'm just a product of my environment. America made me. He grew up, it's been revealed, on the wrong side of the tracks. A white boy in the black half of Detroit's poorest district, the son of an impoverished single mother. He was beaten almost to death and shot at by his black neighbors for his skin color. And yet, the heroes of this racially abused white were black rappers. And now, he walks among them, wildest of them all, like some twisted photo negative of a civil rights dream. American politicians and pressure groups shake nervous fingers at his unnatural preeminence. But Eminem's music skips around its earnest accusers, because he is more sophisticated than them, in a way as important as his racial transgressions. As a child fan of gangster rap's fantasies, who grew up in the real, if for him, wrong ghetto, he understands perfectly the difference between exaggerated art and grim reality. This has freed him to explore extreme emotional places that his country, so much happier censoring rappers than addressing real racially